So the epistle for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Romans chapter 8. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. For the expectation of the creature waited for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that made it subject in hope. Because the creature also itself shall be delivered from the servitude of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain even till now. And not only it, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 5. At that time, when the multitude pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesareth. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets and going up into one of the ships that was Simon's. He desired him to draw back a little from the land. And sitting, he taught the multitudes out of the ship. Now when he had ceased to speak, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said to him, "Master, we have labored all the night and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a very great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners that were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they were almost sinking. Which when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was wholly astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And having brought their ships to land, leaving all things, they followed him. Please be seated. The sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Last year, I spoke on these words in terms of understanding that, yes, the sufferings and the difficulties that we have in this life, they will pale in comparison to truly then the glory that is to come for our souls, God willing that we make it into heaven, that we reach that final goal, that we're able to get to heaven. And so, yes, the words of St. Paul, they give us much to look forward to. But as we see in this Mass itself, throughout the entire Mass, it sets the tone that God is our salvation. It gives us to understand that Almighty God is the salvation that has come for us. This month that is dedicated to the precious blood, I think, is a great reminder to us. You know, our Lord came into this world specifically to redeem mankind, to shed his blood for that purpose. And so that was when our Lord in his agony, when he sweated the blood, and he suffered and he anguished over the fact that there would be souls that would allow or permit him to shed his blood in vain, that they would not be redeemed. And so that was what our Lord suffered. That was his agony, of realizing that there would be souls that would turn their back on him. And so in this month that we consider this feast, and we consider truly how our Lord, he shed his blood specifically for that purpose. That was the purpose of why he came, why he took a human flesh, was to redeem mankind. And so then it becomes up to us whether we accept that or not, or whether we let or allow our Lord's shedding of his blood to be in vain. You know, God forbid that happens for our soul. And so that is something that we have to try to consider. And I think it's interesting to see how Holy Mother the Church, in using the words of St. Paul, you know, St. Paul has that of helping us to understand, well, look, the sufferings and the crosses that you have, they are a means that will help you then to reach your end. And that is something that we can't even imagine. St. Paul tells us in the Corinthians, in his epistle to the Corinthians, You know, we can't even fathom what God has created for us in terms of heaven. Eye hath not seen, ear not hath heard what God has in store for us. You know, we can't even imagine what it is or what it's like for us. And so that is why then when we consider this life, the struggles, the difficulties that we have, that we are mere pilgrims, that we are just passing through in this life. And that's why with each of our actions, with every action that we have, it does matter toward eternity. That can be something that we lose sight of. That can be something that we don't comprehend each day of our life. That yes, the way that we dress, the way that we act, the things that we say, the thoughts that we have, all of these things will affect our eternity. For good or for bad. And so, again, there can be the shedding of our Lord's blood in vain for souls. Souls that understand it. Souls that realize what our Lord, why he came into this world. And yet they still end up in that sense. But the introit sets the tone for us. And it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And how true that is. Our Lord is our light. We've had that theme, that understanding, that analogy throughout the liturgical year. Christmas, February 2nd, Easter time. And so we should understand that. We see it each time, even at the Gospels. The candles are brought over at a high mass for the singing of the Gospel. Because our Lord is this light. But he is also our salvation. That's why I say in this month of July, the month of the precious blood, our Lord shed his blood in order to redeem us, to be our salvation. And so then that second part of it, whom shall I fear? Who is there to fear then? If our Lord is our salvation and our light, why should we fear anyone? When we have Almighty God. And so that then leads us into the gospel account. This confidence of our Lord. This confidence that must be shown in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is our salvation. And so we see with Simon, which is Saint Peter. He was a fisherman. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also fishermen. And so, yes, they had worked all night in trying to catch fishes. And we can just look at it on a material sense in terms of, okay, yes, that was their way of life. That was how they supported themselves, so the fishes that they took in and selling them and trying to gain money and supporting themselves. So obviously, being fishermen, they knew what they were supposed to do and when they were supposed to do it. And so when our Lord saw that, he said, "Go out and cast your nets." And we even see St. Peter saying, "We've done it all night." But still with St. Peter, he says, "Well, fine, but if that's what you want, we'll do it anyway." He didn't sound too confident in it, but he still at least was willing to be obedient then. "Fine, I'll do it." And that obedience was blessed by God. It was blessed in a material sense of the fishes that they actually took in, but then you see that life will no longer be St. Peter's. Because our Lord says to him, and said, "From now on, you're going to be a fisher of men. No longer will you even have to worry about the fishes, but you will go towards souls now." So our Lord blessed his obedience, his willingness at least to try it, but it was to call him to something greater. And because of that, St. Peter immediately reacts. You know, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Something that all of us could also say with St. Peter, that we too are sinful men, sinful women. And yet our Lord still calls us. Our Lord still came to redeem all of us. And so St. Peter then was instructed that he must have this confidence in God. He must understand that and show that and illustrate that in every day of his life. And therefore then, the shedding of our Lord's precious blood would not be in vain. Because if we have that confidence and that trust in God, we will gain the graces from God to help us in our daily life, to overcome the difficulties, the struggles that we have, the crosses and trials that we have. And so God blessed that for them. And he called them to something greater. He called them to something greater, but our Lord told them, "Fear not. Fear not, because I am your light and your salvation." So going back then, we can see why the church chooses that for the introit. This entrance hymn of understanding that we need to understand that God is our light and he is our salvation. If we just follow him, we will be able to reach heaven. And so therefore, then, the glory that is to come, we cannot even fathom. We cannot even understand. But that is what God is calling us to. But what a shame it is for us when, yes, seemingly we live our lives for our Lord shedding in vain, that he is shedding his life in vain for us. You know, God forbid. But that is what happens to us when we don't understand that. When we commit our sins and we keep falling into them and we do nothing about it. I mean, that is why it's important for us to understand the spirit that we must have every day of our life. You know, not just next month when we have the pilgrimage, when we walk that. That spirit that we have at the pilgrimage should be something that we live every day of our life. I mean, granted, the different occasions that God gives to us, making a pilgrimage, yes, it strengthens and it increases our faith. It should. But we should have that pilgrim spirit every day. And that is what we must try to understand for our lives every day. Because as I say, otherwise then, yes, God shedding his blood is in vain for us because we don't understand it. We don't get it. And that is something that we see across the board today, even amongst Catholics. I mean, granted, the people that don't have the faith, they don't understand. So you won't hold into the same culpability that you will have to someone that does understand it. And so we must try to understand the spirit that we should have. It is a spirit of confidence and trust in God, yes. A true belief in Almighty God. And I think that is one of the things of visiting Ireland. A lot of the people there have the faith, yes. I mean, granted, it has been tainted by the conciliar changes that have happened. I mean, that definitely is there. But there is still a strong faith. The people sense that, they understand that. And they have that belief. In some senses, yes. I mean, granted, I think the whole world has been affected by, I would say, a lack of faith or a loss of faith. And Ireland is no different. No matter how Irish I am, I can't lie. And so it's affected too. And so am I saying the country is still Catholic? No. Unfortunately, it's not. But it's such a shame when you see the churches that were Catholic, not only have they been stripped of the look of a Catholic church, but some of them have even gone over to the Protestant church. I remember when we visited where St. Patrick is buried, St. Bridget and St. Columbkill. It's a church of Ireland now, which is Anglican. I mean, St. Patrick must be turning over in his grave. because he spent his life converting the people there to the Catholic faith. And we had seen from a distance, we didn't have a chance to actually visit the mountain itself, Croagh-Patrick, where St. Patrick went up for 30 days and 30 nights, praying for the people of Ireland to be faithful to God. And so he climbed this mountain and he prayed for the people in fasting in order for them to be faithful. And then you see today of how little by little the Catholicism is stripped. And it's because of people do not have the same understanding of the faith. And I would say it's too much of a desire to be like the world. That, I think, is across the board the problem with the world today. And we see that in our own churches too. It is no different. And that is what will happen. We will be stripped of our faith little by little. And so that is why we must now understand it. And we must live the life accordingly. We must realize that our Almighty God shed his blood in order to redeem us. And we should not let a minute pass by without understanding that and having that proper spirit. And so that is why in this month of the precious blood, realize why our Lord shed his blood for us. Understand that. Understand why he did that. And if you do understand that, then I would say that you will try to live your life accordingly. Will it make us perfect? No. This whole life is meant to try to help us to be perfect. But at least if we understand that, at least if we try to make the necessary steps toward that, that is what God expects from us. And that is when we make our pilgrimages, whether you make it Mother Cabrini, whether you go to, you know, a country and making a pilgrimage. That was one of the nice things we were able to visit Knock, where Our Lady appeared to the Irish people. She never said anything to them. I mean, she thought the Irish talked so much anyway, so she wouldn't get a word in, but I don't know. But she never said anything for the whole apparition. But still, even there, you can see that there is a sense of, you know, the sacred. Yes, it's been unfortunately changed. Some of it looks hideous. But there is still at least a sense of the sacred that is on those grounds because Our Lady appeared there. And I prayed for all of you there of having the chance of begging God for the graces for all of us. That we do understand it, that we do accept what God has done for us. That he has shed his blood in order to redeem us. And that we cannot let it be in vain. That we have got to strive and be a pilgrim, a true pilgrim, with a true spirit. And that's why I say again, and I will keep reiterating until we make the Mother Cabrini pilgrimage, that it doesn't matter how far you walk or how long you walk. It is what spirit you come with. And whether you're a support vehicle the whole time, it doesn't matter. You can win more graces than someone that walks the whole 50 miles. It depends on the spirit that we have. And as I say, we are true pilgrims every day of our life. So I do encourage all of you to take part in it in some way or another. I mean, if we're too busy to take part in a pilgrimage, then there's a problem. We have our priorities in the wrong place. And so we need to try to have that spirit. And have that spirit is something that is necessary for us to get to heaven. And so let us pray for these graces, that truly that God's shedding of his blood was not in vain for our souls. And so let us say with the offertory, enlighten my eyes that I never sleep in death, lest at any time my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.